But yeah, I'm nervous about, like, I'm nervous about, you know, what this team's going to look like when Kessler's off the court. And then also, Pete, what if Kessler isn't, you know, like, if he's hurt, what if he isn't the superstar big that the Lakers kind of slot him into? What if he is played off of the court in any way whatsoever in the postseason? Mm-hmm. Then you're just completely screwed.
Yeah.
And I just that those scenarios and there not being a net for them really make me nervous. And the one thing that we have kind of learned in these postseasons is there is, I think, an answer for elite offenses in the postseason, because most of these teams have the personnel to eventually at least minimize some of a team's best abilities, capabilities offensively. And then it's like, all right, how good are you throwing your B and C and D pitch? Mm-hmm. There isn't as much of an answer for a great defense. And if the Lakers first options and if their offense is minimized even a little bit, I just don't really know what their response would be in the postseason. Now, I do think this could be like a historically overwhelming offense, depending on who they fill that fourth spot with. Mm-hmm. So like it kind of, we have to look at things through a slightly different prism. But you know, if it's brought down a level at all and you don't have the defense to make up for that, that's how series end really quickly, you know? And that's what I'm nervous about.
They need more perimeter defense for sure. I think, for me, my anxiety was much higher when we didn't have Walker Kessler and all the other stuff was true, right? Like, I know we lost Marcus, and I love me some Marcus, but Kessler is a much bigger impact, and getting a five that's a defensive stalwart is much more important. And I think that getting defensive talent at that spot, like, it's not super expensive, right? Between Marcus, guys like Oubre, what they signed for and whatnot, like, but they're going to need to be that sort of exception to the rule type of offense. And one of the things that I do like, and this is to the Grimes point, like Grimes, Sexton, those guys add two more guys that can really break you down off of the dribble. And there are only so many point of attack, like can contain the ball type of defenders that you can have on the court really at any given time. Right. Even the embarrassment of Richardson.
They're going to be on Austin. They're going to be on Luka.
Yeah. That like, if you've got a third guy that has to guard Grimes, like vast majority of time, Grimes is going to have the advantage on that. Same thing's true with Sexton, right? That I think that this Lakers offense has the potential to be one that you actually can't contain. And I do think that I think we can go too far with the defense, like wins championships type of idea. Like one of the other phrases is that great offense beats great defense. And we see this happen all the time where you play amazing defense on Jalen Brunson and then he's hit some off the back right corner of the backboard, like leaning bullshit off of, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
we both root for Kobe, right? Like right, we both rooted for Kobe, you know, and there were some great defenders on, but that's that, to be fair, that's more of like a individual cliche more so than it is a team-wide concept, right? Mm-hmm. Like the great offense beats great defense usually is like a great offensive player pulls something out of their ass that the great defender is just like, mother, you know, like, yeah. It's true, but like I would just have a slight pushback there. But go ahead, sorry.
No, I totally get that. But I suppose that I think this Lakers team has a dam breaking degree of off the dribble talent that was my gripe with last year's team is because Bron had lost a bit of his ball handling ability by last year and was more of a triple threat type of guy. That if we were going to be an off the dribble type of team, we really only had Luka and Austin. And the next best guy at that was Nick Smith Jr. And there's just such a fall off there that now we've got two more guys that like, no, they're legitimately good at this. They might not be the best in the league at this, but like Sexton and Grimes will kick your ass if you put some bad defenders on them, you know? And I see the vision at the very least. And I do think that there's the ability to pivot.
Yeah, and I think that was a point that you and Darius made in your guys' show that I think is altogether fair. Like, if you see the vision, let's continue to let them fill out the vision. And I just don't see the vision is where I line up. Is that like, there are like, you must be this tall to rides across the ride and it like across like the sport, right? Like you need to be this athletic, you need to be this big and physical. You need to be this good offensively. You need to be this good defensively. And I'm really concerned that the Lakers fall below that threshold. And maybe Kessler steps in and he solves so many of their problems that the Lakers get to average, and they are so overwhelming offensively that they're. And the other thing too, that like I think a good point to make here, if you're trying to defend the defense, is that I think the Lakers are going to score frequently enough that their defense won't have to be in transition. So if they can keep teams out of transition, I think that'll really help too. I do think one thing that the teams are probably going to do against Kessler is try to get out and score before Kessler is back there set up. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how effectively the Lakers are able to mitigate that, right? They do have a couple turnover prone guys in Luka and Austin. And if they turn the ball over, then the game can kind of balloon. But mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I do think that we do need to see how the rest of this comes together. I would be absolutely shocked if they enter a season without a power forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference between Rui and Kuminga?
Dude, I have asked myself this like 74 times.
Mm-hmm. And I see the argument for both. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I compared it to in yesterday's show, I compared it to like if you're looking at your pantry and you don't have anything good to cook. Jen and I always have stuff to make spaghetti. You know, mm-hmm. it's a nice solid meal. You know exactly what you're getting there. And Rui is spaghetti in this case. Whereas okay. like you look into your pantry and you're like, I mean, I guess I could try combining this and that and this and make mm-hmm. something I've never cooked before. And maybe it turns out great. Mm-hmm. Maybe we wind up going to McDonald's and that's Kuminga. I think you have a higher ceiling with Kuminga, but I think you have a significantly lower floor with Kuminga okay. than you do with Rui. But this team needs athleticism so badly that I think mm-hmm. I find myself more frequently picturing Kuminga catching lobs from Luka, like those baseline cut lobs that, and I think Rui is a good baseline cutter and stuff like that. But I think that can be kind of taken away sometimes because he can't get over the top of defenses.
And he's not really Kuminga's, a 1 foot jumper either. Like he yeah. is always very rigid in his finishing. Yeah.
Yeah, Kuminga is just capable of so many of those like holy shit plays yeah. that like I think you need one holy shit athlete on a Luka team, and that would maybe be my argument for Kuminga. But also, if you go with Kuminga in this spot, there's the possibility that you're like, should have just cooked spaghetti.
Totally, totally.
Who do you prefer?
You know, all things being equal, it's Rui for me. I see the argument for both. It's crazy. Kuminga's 4.5 years younger than Rui, even though it seems yeah. like he's been around forever. He's still.
That's because he's always in the headlines, because God forbid anybody be honest in their coverage about the Warriors.
Right. Sure. I'm with you on the hyper athlete type of point. I'd be happy with either, frankly. Like we're talking yeah. about. Yeah, I know when we made all those moves the other day, everybody's like, oh, we've got no flexibility to do everything else. And that's not like one of the big ideas of doing everything this offseason is that let's say you waited until next year to let go of Vando. You don't get any benefit from that. You don't get any cap space because that's when Austin's contract from a cap yeah. hold standpoint kicks in and all that. Like that's one of the benefits of saving everything up for this offseason is that if you move Vando, if you move Dalton or Jake, Bronny, those type of guys, you actually do create space for the guys that are left over. And there are several pretty good players here. So they got to get all their work done, in my opinion, this offseason. And then just from a talent add standpoint, and then in the next transaction cycle or two, it's a, okay, we saw it, but we need to tweak this or tweak that. But they really need to add as much talent as they can now. And so I see the argument for both. I'd go with Rui, but I'd be happy with either result.
There's a gnawing thought that I haven't said on the show yet, but it's a conversation that I've had with a few people around the league. And it's that like, so the premise here is that I think Rob and Jeannie and their people were given a 3 to 5 year window to run this thing out and prove, all right, we can lay the foundation to continue doing this forward. I'm not saying they have a hard out at 3 to 5 years, but I like from like as part of the purchase, I or as part of the sale, I think it was outlined and written down contractually, right? I think Ramona even reported that Jeannie continues on as a team governor for 3 to 5 years or whatever it is. And a thought that I keep on coming back to is because I do kind like I could get behind the notion of, yeah, like get it all done now. Everybody is young. Austin is currently the oldest player on the team. There's going to be some organic growth, some growth through continuity, and there are going to be additions made over the course of the next, you know, 3 or 4 years too, right? By way of draft picks and other exceptions that they can sign guys to and stuff like that. So like there are ways that they can continue to improve. But I did find myself wondering, like, you know, you give up the 2 picks for Kessler, which again, in a vacuum, perfectly fine. Like if I found out some team gave up 2 draft picks for Walker Kessler, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right. The issue I have with it is that it was the Lakers' only first round picks that they could use this year at a time where they still have a glaring hole. They do not currently employ a starting power forward. Mm-hmm. And their perimeter defense is well below what I'm comfortable with. I think we can both be kind of honest here. Like we know that Rob's job was probably riding on getting the center for Luka. That was the thing that Luka's camp specifically asked for and continued to remind him, hey, you told us this was going to be the year, right? And we very quickly got the report from Wojcie that Luka's happy, which... Mm-hmm. You know, I think is he better well be given that he kind of pushed for Kessler, right? And so, but like I find myself wondering if this was Rob firing all the bullets that he had left in his chamber because it's like probably might not be my problem in 5 years anyway, you know, and that's something that like I wish I wasn't nervous about.
I get that. I don't think that's the rationale behind it. I think it's you're doing that for Luka, right? You're converting future value into the best current team that you have. And like right now, what Austin's the oldest dude on the team. That was one of the things that when I spoke
crazy.
They want to, and all of these deals, except for Sexton, I know they've got a player option at the end of all of them, but they're all 3 and 4 year deals in ways that like they want to have a group that can play together for several years. And ideally most of these guys on the core stick together and they grow together. And then, you know, hopefully a guy like Carr or a Dupop, and you can make moves off of that. But I don't think the rationale is like, well, shit, I'm not going to be here in a couple of years if this doesn't work. So screw these future picks. It's more, what does Luka care about a 2033 first round pick? If that means is the difference between having Walker Kessler as your starting center versus Mitchell Robinson. And so it's that sort of like, give me the best team that you can create this offseason now, and then make the moves off of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I also, I'm just going to ask you this, like person to person, do you think that the Kessler, the excitement over Kessler is because he's the guy that the Lakers have been pursuing for multiple years? Because if I was just to outline, I don't know that I am like as high on Kessler as most people are. And if he doesn't work out, then this whole experiment,
whole thing falls apart.
Yeah. Yep. It is just done. Mm-hmm. So do you think that some of your excitement is that like, this is the guy that like, this is the best guy that they could get on the market? Or do you think it's about this guy, the player himself?
I think it's about the player himself. Even before we traded for him, he was the one guy that I thought he was the one guy on the market, right? But I think he's a top 10 center in the league when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, exactly, because I'm skeptical of the Luka and Austin pairing in terms of Austin's ability to sort of be the second dude that can really give you offense and provide that. And in some ways, Grimes and Sexton provide a buffer against that, and that you've got more guys that do that, that if Austin's off, you've got, you're not screwed, right? But for that trio to work, I thought you needed, well in advance of this, a defensive stalwart in the front court that could really hold it down at the end. Probably needed to be a 5 because you also have pick and roll needs. You need somebody that's a competent role man. And sometimes you can have like a Gobert, right? Where I know he's better offensively than I think people realize, but somebody who's got really bad hands. Like Kessler's got good hands. You need competency at the pick and roll spot. He's a good short roll passer. So when Luka gets blitzed near half court, he can catch that pass and make the correct play out of the 4-on-3. That he just checks so many boxes to me. And he's even got like the first little inklings of some pick and pop ability, or not pick and pop, but just space the floor. He hit started making threes that we might be able to go five out with him too. That my anxiety was sky high before this offseason started, because I thought the options after Kessler were extremely bleak at that spot. Yeah. And so it was, to me, the difference between getting a top 10 center and a backup at that spot. So, yeah.
Okay. No, I it's just something that like I've been kind of, I love the human element of sports talk. Like, I think we tell our, like, we, like based on our reactions to various things, we say a lot about like ourselves, about like, you know, and in our reactions to Kessler, like, cause all right. It was funny because over the course of the last like 48, 72 ish hours, the Lakers off season went from Jesus Christ, fire everybody, get everybody out of here. This sucks. What are we doing? We're going to lose Luka. Like, it went from that to now. If I told a joke, and I even had LOL on it to signify that it was a joke, but somebody had asked, I think it was Guru had asked, you know, what scoring guard core is better than Luka, Austin, Grimes, Sexton, mm-hmm. right? And I like quote tweeted it, and I even added LOL so the people knew that I was joking, but I said any guard group that is playing against these guys. And the reaction was visceral, where it was like, and Lakers fans, and this happens every offseason. We've been doing this long enough that I kind of saw it coming. I was wondering how long it would take. But we have now reached the point of the offseason where fans have talked themselves into a lot of this stuff. Right? And as such, they defend this stuff this offseason viscerally, and they defend this team viscerally because now they're their guys. Right. Like you and I always joke about the fact that like Lakers immediately become more valuable as soon as they're no longer Lakers. Right. Like Alex Caruso all of a sudden became an all-NBA defender. Right.
Right.
And, you know, and I think sometimes the inverse can be true with fans, where it's like, you know, if we were to walk away from a trade deadline and the Lakers were interested in Mamu and they didn't get him, we'd be like, well, Mamu doesn't really move the needle anyway. But Mamu and Grimes and Kessler and Sexton have now taken an offseason that went from absolute and outright disaster to something that they are defending viscerally. And I don't know that collection of players is enough for me to get there myself. Now we'll need to see what else comes of this offseason. We need to see what this entire meal looks like when it's fully cooked, or the pie like you're talking about is fully baked. But the talent that they added, given the players that they said goodbye to arrive here, makes me very nervous, you know. And if this was just 2K and like LeBron and Rich Paul were like diagramming out their next destination, and the Lakers were on that list, and LeBron like finally turned around and was like, actually living in Los Angeles and being a Laker was actually kind of nice, and they need a starting power forward. That sounds good. Let's do it. Let's link back up. I would love this offseason. If they had gone with Marcus Smart instead of Colin Sexton, I would love this offseason.
That's big enough to swing from like, I really don't like this, to like that caliber of player is enough to swing you from one side to the next.
LeBron?
No, I'm talking about like Marcus or you're talking all of these moves. I see.
No, okay. LeBron and Marcus are they are more than enough to swing this.
Gotcha. Got it.
Yeah. I would say so. Because like now you're talking about the jump from like Rui starting at the power forward to LeBron starting at the power forward. This would be an outright overwhelming offense if LeBron
came back.
Was just your power forward here. But yeah, I don't know. Look, we've been talking for 40 minutes. It flew by. So we're going to go ahead and dive into, unless there's anything else that you wanted to talk about.
No.
All right. We will see what comes up after we play the most important sound on the show. All right. We got plenty of these. So, Pete, are you good on time?
I'm good on time.
If you have to jump, let me know.
You got it.
Matthew the Sicilian kicks us off with Pete versus Anthony, as Count Dooku once said, I've been looking forward to this. Yeah, I'm going to save the question I have for you for offline, because I'm really kind of curious about something. But
okay.
Yeah. Here's what's the thing happening? All right. I'm just going to ask a question. Are you cool with this? So,
yes.
You have been telling me about this plan for years, right? Yes. You've been telling me about like the plan to say goodbye to LeBron, and are we sure that the Lakers even want LeBron back? Like, you have been talking to me and Jovan about this. You've been on top of this to a greater extent than any reporter who is out there. And kudos to you for your foresight on this. And as you've been telling me about this, my pushback has always been like, are we sure about this plan? Like, mm-hmm. Are we sure? You know? Yeah. And so like, I find myself wondering, Pete, if you're as high on the summer so far as you are, because the Lakers have executed their plan, versus are we sure about the plan? Like, that I think is kind of like the foundation of your and my disagreement. I never liked the plan.
Sure.
And you like the plan, I think, a little bit more, and you've been on top of the plan more. And that's where I think the disagreement starts.
So I like that we got Kessler. I like that we got the foundational piece that I thought we needed. Do I trust this plan? Absolutely not. I don't trust these guys. And I think they belong to a different basketball religion than I do, yeah, in terms of what they value and what I don't. I like the individual players that they've acquired. I don't think that this is a championship team, but I thought that the version of this team that would be able to compete for a championship or close to it this year was the one where they do all of this and then they go to LeBron after they stretch and wave Vando and shed Dalton and Bronny. They're going to create more room for that starting.
Well, they wouldn't be able to do it with Bronny.
Well, yeah, that's true. Good point. Yes. But basically,
we got you $2 extra million, LeBron. Yeah. How'd you get it? Well,
yes.